Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
This is a season of year that especially calls us to worship, to gratitude, and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ changes everything else about your life. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Worship 101. Stay with us. Often it is what we worship that drives everything else in our life. What we worship is what consumes our devotion, our affection, our attention. And friend, today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the subject of worship. Worship 101 is the series. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We hope you'll join us every Monday through Friday through this season as we discover worship and as we learn more about the Christ of Christmas. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell on his blog at paulchappell.com. Also, you can find out more about Daily in the Word at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But now let's turn our hearts to God's Word with a message entitled Worshiping Prayerfully. Here's Paul Chappell.
You see, as Spurgeon once said, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Some people think they have to do all kinds of penance in order to gain an entrance to God. I have seen in third world countries with my own eyes on several occasions people climbing up the steps of a church. And as they climb up the steps of the church, many times their pants now will wear through. And then now their knees on the steps of some great cathedral begins to find a scraping time and a bleeding time. And these who are of this particular Roman Catholic tradition feel that they must somehow earn an entrance into God or into the confessional booth, which is not found in Scripture. I have seen some, in fact, even take a whip and self-flagellate and find themselves in a bleeding mess trying to somehow do penance in order that God will hear their prayer. I'm thankful this morning that I do not have to shed my blood in order for God to hear my prayer. I am thankful that I enter God based upon the merit of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that I can come on His merit and not on my own merit. That's why we sing songs like Wonderful Grace of Jesus. How we thank God that by His grace, He invites us to come in to the holy place. And so our entrance into prayer is not based upon our merit. It is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ has made a way. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And so we see how our entrance in unto the Lord has been procured. But notice secondly this morning, our expectation in prayer. Someone says, all right, Pastor Chappell, God has made a way through Jesus that I might pray personally to Him. But I'm intimidated by prayer, and some people are. I know grown men in their 40s and 50s who will break out in a little bit of a sweat when it comes time to pray for their breakfast, maybe at Denny's. Or maybe even to pray with their family. It's a little awkward. And sometimes I think the devil wants us to feel awkward or self-conscious. And yet all we're doing is talking to the one who loves us more than we could ever comprehend. And what is it, in fact, that God wants us to expect when we come to Him in prayer? Well, let's notice a few things about this matter of prayer. First of all, God says, I want you to come with confidence. I want you to come to me with confidence. The Bible says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, what does the next word say? Boldness. The word boldness means freedom in speaking. It means without concealment. By the way, how many of you would agree with me? It's a little silly to try to conceal anything from God anyways. God says, I love you the way you are. I know when you've had uh-ohs. I know when you've sinned. I understand. But I want you to come to me boldly. And he says that, first of all, because of his total acceptance for us. My friend, God loves you and God loves me. And we are accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says in 1 John 3:21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Sometimes our hearts condemn us, sometimes our heart does not, but at all times, God says, I want you to have confidence in my acceptance of you. Secondly, God says, I want you to know that I desire to hear your prayers. Did you know that Jesus taught us how to pray in the New Testament? Did you know the Bible says that men ought always to pray? The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Time and again, God says, I want your fellowship. In fact, Adam and Eve were created with that thought in the mind of Almighty God. I heard the story of an old farmer that was driving down the dirt road in his truck. And as he was driving along the dirt road, his wife was in the truck with him. And she was in one of those kind of melancholy moods, and she looked over at him and said, you know, we never sit all snuggled up together in the truck like we used to. He was driving the old truck. He looked over at her and said, I didn't move. Someone says, you know, I just feel like my prayers just go off the ceiling. I just feel so far from God. Let me tell you something. He didn't move. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Sometimes when I'm asked to do marriage counseling, the first question I will ask is this. Do you pray in your home? Do you pray? How is it that we can expect never to invite God's help and God's presence and then wonder why our marriage struggles? My friends, the family that prays together stays together. God says, I want you to come to me with confidence. I want you to know that I'm ready to hear from you. I want to hear from you. He says, secondly, I want you to come with sincerity. This is not a game. This is not some ritual. He says, I want you to believe in your heart as you come. Notice in verse 22, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Notice that phrase, a true heart. God says, now when you come to me, I want you to be real with me. 2 Chronicles 7:14 indicates to us what a true heart is in God's economy. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now God says, when you come to me, I want you to come with a humble heart. I want you to be willing to turn from your sin. And herein lies the reason that many Christians do not pray as we should, because just as soon as we begin to come into the presence of God, the Lord begins to convict us of our sin. And God says, when that happens, I just want you to come with a true heart, with a humble heart. Here, notice what it says in verse 22. It says, let us draw near in a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, the Old Testament priests, before they went into the Holy of Holies, they would take time, first of all, to clean every part of their body. They would clean their hands. They would clean their feet. They would take their garments and they would wash them thoroughly. They dared not to enter into the presence of the Holy One until they had been cleaned. And by the way, I know I'm a little old-fashioned, but I simply believe that this is the Lord's day. I believe still in the holiness of God. I don't think it's a bad thing to be respectful when we come into the house of God. And if the very best you have is a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, then wash it up and come on in ready to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the Lord's day and He is still a holy God. Let me tell you something though. We can look great on the outside, but our hearts may be defiled. So He doesn't say in verse number 22 that we are simply to wash our clothes. He says, I want your hearts to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, I want you to come before me sincerely and honestly. As the psalmist of old said, Lord, try my heart, search and know it, see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, why is that so important? Because of Psalm 66:18. Notice that in your notes. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, we're talking about prayer this morning, and God says, if you're going to start praying, but in your heart you hate someone, you're bitter, you're having some kind of a pattern of life that's displeasing to Him, it's against the Bible, God says, if you're going to try to hide that in your heart, you're hindering your prayer life. He said, I'm not even going to hear your prayer life. So He says, I want you to come with confidence. But I want you to come with sincerity. I want you to be sincere. I want you to have your heart humble and pure before me. Now, my friend, what I am preaching about right now is something that every person in this room can do if we would determine today that we are going to come before the Lord with confidence and with sincerity. It can be done. Years ago, I was preaching in the old building downtown. We had just been here a few months, and I was preaching on a Sunday night about serving God. And I said, everyone has a spiritual gift and everyone needs to find a place to serve in the church. And I was just encouraging our folks to try to reach our city with the gospel. And I gave the invitation and folks came and some were deciding to serve the Lord in various capacities. One lady came. In fact, she was the only really senior saint in our church at that time. Her name was Clara Doherty. Clara was 87 years old. And she was primarily shut in. Some folks would pick her up and bring her in and so forth. And she came, in fact, came down the aisle with a walker. And as she came up to me, I extended my hand as a young 24-year-old pastor. And I said, Mrs. Doherty, what are you coming for today? She said, well, Pastor, I can't do a lot of the things you've been talking about. She said, I really can't go out as much as some of the others. She said, I give gospel tracts to those that come by the door or when I'm at the hospital. She said, there's not a lot I can do, but I'm coming today to reaffirm my vow to God. There's two things I can do and two things I will do. She said, Pastor, I can pray and I can pay. Now, the pay referred to her tithes, but the prayer referred to her time with God on our behalf. And I have often wondered, as this ministry has seen building after building constructed and great victory after great day accomplished, I've often wondered if it is not the prayers of godly widows in this church who come before the Lord boldly and who come with a pure heart and who say, God bless that preacher and bless those people and bless this project and that project. I believe that God hears the prayer of a sincere and pure hearted Christian today. We can make excuses about why we would not get right, or we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, purge my heart, clean me. Lord, I want to talk to you, and I need your wisdom today, and I need your power today. God says, come with confidence and sincerity. And thirdly, he says, come with faith. Notice that phrase there in verse number 22, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. He doesn't want us coming in fear. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God says, I don't want you coming to me in fear. I want you coming knowing that I will give you peace that passeth all understanding. John Bunyan, the great Baptist preacher from Bedford, England, once said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Folks, it's so important that we would come in faith early in the day, trusting God to provide our every need. Now, what I have found in my life is that many times children are better at this than adults. I have found that oftentimes it's the children who will come to the Lord in faith believing. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, follow God as dear children. And I believe that young people today, when you talk with them, especially maybe 7 or 8 year olds, they believe God can do anything. I mean, they believe God can do anything. And I believe that's how God wants us to come to Him, believing that God is able. One little girl named Debbie prayed recently in her class. Her teacher jotted this prayer down. Please, God, send a new baby for mommy. The one you sent last week cries too much. Angela in the same class said, dear God, could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any. Now, I don't know if we need to be that specific with our prayer, but I'm telling you what, God wants us to come before him with the heart of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he wants us to come believing in him. And so our entrance in prayer is made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our expectation in prayer is that God wants us to come boldly. He wants us to come with a pure heart. And he is ready to answer the prayer of a faith-filled Christian. But notice thirdly this morning, our exercise in prayer. As we close this morning, I want to give you a practical pattern for prayer. Richard Foster said, we must set aside time for prayer. We will never have time for prayer. We must make time. And right here and right now is when I want you to think about your prayer life. Someone says, well, I just pray all the time. And I believe in that. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. I pray sometimes when I'm walking down the hallway or sometimes when I'm driving down Antelope Valley Freeway, I pray. You'll be glad to know I do keep my eyes open when I pray on the freeway. You can pray anywhere and all the time. But in my life, I have found what gets scheduled gets done. It's sort of like witnessing. I try to witness a lot and tell people about the Lord and pass out tracts. But on my schedule, I found it helpful to set aside time, whether it's on a Tuesday or a Saturday or a Friday afternoon, to set aside time so that I can go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about your schedule today. I want you to think about your appointment with God. I mean, just as you would have a doctor's appointment with Dr. Jones to check on your tonsils, and you want to make sure you don't miss that. Do you have a time daily with God? Do you set time aside? Oh, what we need in this day and hour is a revival of prayer and Christians who will seek the throne of grace with regularity. Now, as we come to the Lord, I want to share something with you that I read years ago as a high school boy. Just a little pattern of how to pray. And I trust this will be a help and a blessing to you that you might follow this. Notice, first of all, I believe as we come to the Lord, we're to come with adoration. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the Bible says in Luke 11:2, he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. The disciples were taught to pray, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means holy or set apart. And God wants us to approach him on these terms, recognizing that he is worthy of our adoration, that he is a God who has created this world, who is holy, who is high above all, who has all power, who has all knowledge. And we must approach God as he is, holy, high, and lifted up. There has been too much in these last 20 years in America in the development of the so-called seeker-style church where God is just being brought down and brought down. I've even heard men say, well, I just kind of talk to the man upstairs on my own terms. Let me tell you something. If you'll get to know him, you won't refer to him in that way. God is holy, he is high, and he is lifted up, and it is time in our personal life and in our corporate worship together as a church that we recognize anew and afresh that he is worthy of our adoration. Hallowed be thy name. And I believe in our prayer time, we need to just stop as we pray and get that in focus and even say to the Lord how we hallow his name and how we believe in his righteousness and his attributes. The second aspect that's vital in prayer is confession. And I believe it follows adoration so carefully. Because as Isaiah of old stood in the presence of Almighty God, he simply said, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And if you will stand in the presence of God, and if you will adore God's attributes, all of a sudden you get yourself back into perspective. All of a sudden we're not so high and mighty. All of a sudden we're not so self-leading. No. Now we recognize our need for God, and we confess that need, and we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession to the Lord, simply being real and honest with him. By the way, how many of you are thankful that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? And then I believe our prayer time should always include thanksgiving. You know, before we start asking, before we get into the supplication, take a moment to simply thank God for who he is and for what he's done. Thank him for the Bible. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for the local New Testament church. Thank him for family. Thank God for his provision in your life. Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Oh, how we come to him with thanksgiving. And that leads us then to this word, supplication. Coming to the Lord in supplication. Acts 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word supplication means seeking or asking or entreating from God. God wants us to come to him boldly. He wants us to ask of him boldly. He wants us to bring our supplications before him. I think about this word supplication. I think of how we can pray in intercessory prayer for others. I suppose that Brother Serenia, yesterday, the blessing of my heart was the greatest in the service for your dear wife as I heard your children and grandchildren speak about her prayers. One of the children said her prayer list seemed like it was a mile long. She prayed for so many people, especially her children and her grandchildren. The Bible says, ladies, in Proverbs 31, that a virtuous woman will have her children rise up and call her blessed. That's what we saw yesterday. Someone said, my grandmother prayed for me during a difficult time. Someone said, my grandmother prayed for me that I would come back to the Lord. Or my mother prayed for me that I would come back to the Lord. Thank God for praying godly Christians who sometimes pray us back to the Lord. Pray us to have the power of God. John 15 and verse 7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. You see, my friend, when we pray according to the will of God, and when we pray as we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we pray in the Spirit, I believe God is looking to answer the prayers of faith of His people. Mary, Queen of Scotland, once said concerning the great reformer John Knox, she said, I fear John Knox's prayers more than an army of 10,000 men. I'm simply saying to you, there are some things we may try to change on our own. There are some things we may try to adjust with our plans, but only God can change certain things through prayer. And we must bring those things before Him with a heart filled with faith. J. Sidlow Baxter wrote, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. Oh, my friend, today God says, hey, I want you to come. Your entrance into prayer has been made possible. You can enter the holiest because the blood of Jesus has been shed. And when you come, I want you to expect a warm welcome. I want you to come boldly into my presence. I want you to come with a heart that's prepared and know that I am ready to hear. And I want you to have an exercise that includes adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. My friend, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what your need is today, but I know there's a God in heaven who wants to hear your prayer. He created you for this. He wants you to talk to Him. I remember years ago when our church began to grow somewhat and we were finding that the ministry was busier than we thought. I remember telling our secretaries, I said, now, if my wife or kids call, I want their phone calls put through. I said, and if they come by, unless it's just an emergency, I want you to let them come in the office. I'd say about 99% of the time, sometimes I've been seated with a group of pastors, a group of church leaders of some type, and just trying to discuss something very important, maybe a tense moment, one of the kids would just walk right in. Hey, Dad, got some money for lunch? It's usually money. How many dads know what I'm talking about? You know. You know what, though? I'm always glad to see them. I'm always thankful that they would come. There is a God in heaven who wants you to come. He wants you to talk to Him. And He wants you to bring your needs to Him. And He said it over and again, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why don't you make an appointment? And why don't you plan to keep it this week? Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you invite us to come. Lord, I just pray that you would help us as a people to take your offer seriously.
You've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying worship. We're discovering how to worship thankfully, prayerfully, with a pure heart and a giving, generous spirit. Friend, worship begins at the very moment of the beginning of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've listened to today's message and you've come to understand you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're religious but lost. Friend, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. Place 100% of your faith in Him. Trust Him to save you from your sins and to give you His gift of eternal life. That is the very beginning point of a true relationship of worship. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chappell and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chappell's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chappell, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.